We are going to continue our series on prayer tonight, Teach Us to Pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word that teaches us so many things, but none more valuable than to learn to pray. And Father, I pray that tonight that you would help us, Lord, to truly understand with the heart, Lord, that we might pray differently. Lord, that we might pray more intimately, more effectively. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight, Lord, just to hear from your word and to receive from your spirit. Lord, that we would grow and be strengthened. And Father, that our prayers will make a difference in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. That's what the disciples said just before the Lord gave what we call the Lord's Prayer in Luke's gospel. Teach us to pray. And how we need to have that attitude that we would like to learn to pray. We haven't arrived yet. We've got room to grow, room to learn. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, in this manner pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want to remind you that this is not a prayer that's to be used as a ritual. It is a pattern for prayer to show us the right way to pray. First of all, that we approach him with the right attitude of the heart. And second, that we ask for the right kind of things. Now, next week, we're going to have missionary Kathy Green is going to be speaking. And so we'll pick the series back up the following week when we actually begin the part where we ask for something. Tonight, we're going to wrap this first sentence up with, hallowed be your name. And I want you to understand that this first sentence is all about the attitude of the heart. It's all about our mindset and the way that we approach him. Because, listen, if you don't get that right, if your heart's not right and your attitude's not right, then even if you ask for the right things, I don't think it's going to do much good. We got to get this right first. And Jesus says that we are to pray this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed is your name. Now, it's easy for us in our generation to just kind of run through that as a ritual and just say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, because to a great degree, most believers don't even grasp what that word means. Well, church, how can we pray the way Jesus taught us to if we don't understand what it means? Because he told this very plainly in Matthew chapter 6, just a few verses before that. Well, here it is in the Living Bible in Matthew 6, 7. Don't recite the same prayer over and over as the heathen do, who think prayers are answered by only repeating them again and again. That's exactly what people do with the Lord's Prayer. God is not going to answer our prayers just because we repeat it over and over and over and over again. And especially when it's this prayer that we pray in, not really even knowing what we're saying when we say, hallowed is your name. Another translation says, when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Notice it said empty phrases, empty phrases. You see, if we don't hallow his name, then our prayers are just hollow. They're empty phrases. We got to approach God with the right heart. They're also hollow if we're not praying to the one true God, if we don't know who he is, if we don't realize who we are praying to, Jesus said, pray this way, hallowed be your name. We just don't really talk that way nowadays. It's just not, it's kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people. We need to learn and understand what he's talking about when he says that. Hallowed be your name is a declaration of worship and reverence for our Heavenly Father. Listen, it is expressing honor and respect for who he is. Remember, so important, we're not just praying memorized words, but we're expressing our worship, our reverence for who he is in prayer. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray and he said, hallowed is your name, he's talking about something much more than just kind of a formal address, you know, okay, well, this is the way you start your prayer with these formal sounding words. By the way, the only reason it really sounds that way to us is because of that 16th century English. But that's not what Jesus was trying to get us to do with some formality. It's an issue of the heart that when we come to him, we understand who it is that we're coming to, who it is that we're praying to, and we give him the reverence that's due him. And we talked about this the first week, that first of all, you got to have a father mindset. You got to know that you're coming to your father. And that's such a powerful principle when you really get a hold of that, that you're praying to your father. You have a intimate relationship with him. Through the blood of Jesus, you've been made righteous. You have a right relationship with him. You're talking to your father. We talked about how important it is that we realize that we are coming to the God of heaven, the ruler of the universe, the sovereign Lord. He can do absolutely anything. And both of those principles are such a boost to your faith, because when you realize you're coming to your Father, that he's going to hear you, and you're coming to the God who can do absolutely anything. But I want you to understand tonight, we also need to get a hold of this, that when we hallow his name, we are setting him apart as a God that there is none other like him. He is the only one. He is the only one that is worthy of our worship and our honor, our respect. We got to get this in proper perspective. Remember who he is. I'm going to say this again. In the Lord's Prayer, the first sentence, Jesus is showing us, he's telling us. See, he says, pray like this. And that sentence is all about the attitude of prayer and how we approach the Lord. We come to him as the God of heaven. We come with honor and respect and worship for a holy God. Now, I'm going to go against the religious culture of the day. I find myself doing that a lot lately, and that's okay because Jesus did it too. But when I say that, I gotta warn you that it's easy for us to get kind of caught up in the religious culture of the day. I mean, if you're even listening to Christian radio, you're going to pick up some of these kinds of attitudes. But I'm just telling you that what's popular, the pop theology of the day, is not always right. And so some of what I got to say tonight might rub you a little bit the wrong way, but just consider maybe you need to turn around. Because sometimes, listen, I hope that you didn't come to church for me to just tell you everything that you already know. I hope that tonight you're expecting God to show you something that will help you in your prayer life. And I just really believe that that the pop culture of theology today is just missing it when it comes to the attitude about prayer. Because, listen, the popular attitude is to approach our Father as our buddy and talk to him. Now just stay with me. And talk to him just like you would anybody else. Now I want to tell you, there's something right about that. There is some truth in that that sets free. We don't need to go to God and talk to him in some 16th century English. We don't have to know big theological terms. You talk to him just like you would anybody else in that sense. But what's wrong with that statement, talk to him like anybody else, is that he is not like anybody else. And where so many in this day and time are missing it in their approach to prayer and to God is to be so familiar with him that they disrespect him. And Jesus taught us to hallow his name. I'm just telling you that we've got to get this attitude. I don't think that Jesus was saying that, you know, every time you ever pray, you got to be sure that you say, hallowed be your name. That's not what he was talking about. And I know that because many of the prayers that he prayed in the New Testament, he didn't run through those words, hallowed be your name. See, it's not about a form and a ritual, but it's an attitude of the heart. And Jesus knows that this is the right approach to God, that you're talking to your Father, the God of heaven, but you hallow his name. You realize you're talking to holy, awesome God. I like that song tonight. Stay amazed. He's so awesome. How we need to realize who it is that we're talking to. We don't speak to him as our equal. Oh, now, brother so-and-so, that's fine. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. So you put brother so-and-so up against Jesus because Jesus said you pray like this, hallowed be your name. You see, that is giving him a place of reverence that is above anything in this world. Should never speak to him in a way that doesn't show the utmost respect that we could possibly give to him. See, the religious world just goes from one extreme to the other, you know. Some years back, and certainly there's some churches that still carry this on, but it's all about form and formality and religion, tradition. But now, so many have gone to the other extreme where they pray in such a way that they're so familiar and casual in the way that they talk to God that they don't show him proper respect when they're talking to him. They don't really realize who it is they're talking to. See, he loves us and he shows us such grace and kindness and mercy, and because of that, we have this access to his throne. And we talked about how he's our Father and we can come into the throne room with confidence. But yet at the same time, we need to realize who it is that we're finding in that throne room. This awesome God who holds our next breath. I'm telling you, in him we live and move and have our being. He's everything. That's the one we're talking to. And so many speak about him and even talk to him in a way that is too familiar and disrespectful. Well, Jesus, my big brother. Well, you know, theologically, that's true because he's the firstborn among many brethren. But I think that a lot of people are in for a shock when they see him in heaven. They might have an experience like John did when he saw him. John chapter one, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, when John saw him. Now listen, remember, John is the beloved disciple. But when John saw him in heaven, he said, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. And listen, I'm not trying to make you feel like God is far away or unapproachable to you. I'm just trying to say that we need to realize how awesome he is, and that he is deserving of so much more reverence and honor. And when we approach him in prayer, we don't talk to him like we're just talking to anybody. No, we approach him with a humbleness and a reverence and an adoration in our heart. See, if we approach him without giving him the honor that's due the I am, then I really believe our prayers are hollow, empty, because we have not acknowledged the one that we're talking to. You know, I have little respect for politicians as a whole. Most of them are just not very worthy of respect as a matter of character. They don't do what they say. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. And, you know, my two-cent opinion is that pretty much covers them all, although there may be an exception, which I'm sure is that one that you like. Okay? So we're good there, right? But if I were to meet any of them, no matter which party, no matter what they stand for, no matter what their character, I would show them respect. I would honor them as someone in authority, because the Bible tells me to respect those in authority and to honor them. And I would not honor the character of the man, but I would certainly honor the position of authority that he holds. How much more should we honor a holy God who not only is the God of the universe, but his character is flawless, perfect in all his ways? How much he deserves our respect and honor. See, if we had one of our senators join us for church, I wouldn't say, hey, dude, what's up? What's happening? No, that would be disrespectful. I wouldn't talk to him. Now, some people might. I wouldn't talk to him that way. That's not respectful. But what's really crazy is when people talk to God in a casual way like that, not with no regard for who he is. Man, I don't understand what's going on in my life. You want to talk to the God of the universe that way? I'm just telling you, we need to realize who it is we're talking to. He has the power to do anything. And contrary to what some might like to believe, he doesn't have to do what you say. Even though he's our Father, we got to approach him as a holy God with the utmost respect and honor. I really think that the effectiveness of our prayer life begins with us approaching him as our Father, but that we hold him in the highest regard and respect. To hallow, the Greek word is the same word, root word, that is translated as holy. So to hallow means to set apart as holy, to consider holy, or to treat as holy. And when the scripture speaks of God being holy. Listen, it's not just another characteristic of God. You know, in 2011, we did a year-long series called To Know Him, and we talked about different aspects of God and different aspects of his character. But when you say God is holy, it's not just another characteristic. You know, we say, well, he is merciful and he is mighty and he is love and he is full of grace and he is righteous and he is truth and he's so many things. But when the Bible declares that he's holy, it's more than just one of many attributes. Listen, it's referring to everything that he is. It is a summation of all of the attributes. And let me just tell you, if you're a little bit confused about that, and some of you are like, you know, I think love is more important. Well, you know, I realize that. There's the pop culture of the day again. But what do they say around the throne of God night and day? The scripture tells us this several times. Around the throne of God night and day, the angels aren't going, love, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Night and day, it says they do not rest. God created them where they don't even have to rest. Night and day, without rest, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, I don't know if you think this is necessary or not, but let me just tell you that in heaven, they worship God night and day this way. How can we not think it's important to hallow his name, to show reverence for him, and to acknowledge who he is? See, there is none like him. And so we talk to him as though we're talking to somebody. But there is nobody like him. Holy God. When you pray, hallowed is your name. And I hope you understand, I'm not talking about just praying those specific words. Remember, it is not a ritual. It's not just empty phrases. It is an attitude of the heart. But you see, when we come with that attitude and we're hallowing his name, we're setting him apart as holy and worthy of our worship and adoration, you see, then we're not just rushing into the presence of God to give him our to-do list. No, before we ever ask God for anything, we acknowledge who he is. Holy God. Now, that Greek word that's translated as hallowed here is the same word that's translated sanctified. And you see, when we're saying that, it's saying that we set him apart. That he is above all. There is none like him. His name, remember, it's hallowed is your name. His name is above all. That's an act of worship, honoring, adoring him. William Barclay talks about this passage. He says, this petition means, let God's name be treated differently from all other names. Let God's name be given a position which is absolutely unique. He goes on to say that in the Hebrew language, which of course the scripture, you know, when Jesus walked this earth, all of the scripture was in Hebrew. They didn't have the Greek New Testament. But Jesus uttered these words. They literally meant the nature, the character, the personality of that person. When you said, hallowed is your name, you're not just talking about a name. You're talking about the character, the personality of that person. See, in our culture, it's real hard for us to get that because we say a name is just a name. You know, a rose is still a rose by any other name. Doesn't matter if your name is... I'm trying to think of names. I won't be naming somebody here. But anyway, it doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter. You can change your name. You're still the same person. But you see, when Jesus walked this earth, that's not the way it was. That's not the way they thought. There was so much in a name. And when you read the scriptures, you see how much that God wants us to hallow his name. It's one of the big ten. You're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. And as sad as it is that we hear it being taken in vain by unbelievers and backslidden believers and carnal believers, I think it's also so sad that so many believers don't really hallow his name, hold it in the highest regard, worship and adore him. But I want to talk about names for just a minute from a biblical perspective so we can understand this a little better. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. See, in the Bible, a name reveals something about that person's character. And the names of the Lord certainly reveal much about his character and who he is. Billy Graham. Now that name, pretty much for everybody in our country, believers and unbelievers alike, it speaks of somebody who's a great man of God, who's won a lot of souls, somebody that has a lot of character and integrity. In fact, that name has such a high standing that it's amazing how many ministers want to latch onto his coattail in some way and or name drop and claim that, you know, some kind of association with the Billy Graham Association, because that name has such clout and such integrity that goes with it. And you see, we understand that a little bit, but I'm telling you, for the most part, we don't really grasp what it means in the scriptures to hallow his name. I want to just run through some of the names of God just to see how it reveals the character of the Lord. In Genesis 1, it's Elohim, the mighty creator. In Genesis 15, it's Adonai, the Lord. Genesis 17, he's Almighty, El Shaddai. Genesis 14, El Elyon, Most High. In Genesis 16, El Roy, the one who sees me. We talked about Hagar. In Genesis 21, El Olam, the everlasting God. Exodus 3, he's the I Am. In Genesis 22, he's Jehovah Jireh. In Leviticus 20, he is Jehovah Mkadesh. I'll let some of y'all pronounce these for me after this service. The God who sanctifies. In Exodus 17, he's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. In Psalms 23, he's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. In Exodus 15, he's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And in Judges 6, he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. In Ezekiel 48, he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. And in Jeremiah 23, he's the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. See, all these names represent some aspect of the character of God and his person and who he is. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying you need to know all the names of God so you can pray right. I'm not saying that at all. You don't have to go back and study the Hebrew and learn, you know. But what we do need to get is that when we hallow his name, it's not just a name. It is his person. It's who he is. And before we rush into prayer, we just got to stop and just honor him and respect him, adore him, worship him. He's so worthy. I mentioned it earlier. It's Exodus 20 and 7. It says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Deuteronomy 28, 58 and 59 says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name. Fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Then your Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious prolonged sickness. Now, I'm thankful that we're delivered from the curse of the law, aren't you? But it just tells me how much it means to God that we honor and respect his name. Psalms 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalms 9, 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. In Psalms 29 and 2, give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 34, 3, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. One more, Psalm 66, 2, sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. I'm just telling you that God wants us to realize who he is and honor him, worship him. I don't think that you have to do this every time you pray. I'm just telling you that it's appropriate that when you begin to pray and you start talking to your Father, it's a good thing for you to just begin to worship him. Just start telling him what he means to you. Maybe you're coming to God and you need forgiveness and you just start talking about how merciful he is. Maybe you're going to ask him for some specific need. Well, you know what? It's good for you to acknowledge that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. But just begin to worship him for who he is and what he's done in your life and honor him that way. Come to our Father. We acknowledge that he's the God of heaven. And we honor and respect and worship him, the God whose name is holy. His name is holy. Oh, just don't ever forget it. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I mentioned Sunday how little fear of the Lord there is today in our land, but also in the church. There's something that we are missing. And I believe this is a real key, just in the way that we approach him in our prayer. We honor him, holy God, holy God. We don't need to take our shoes off like Moses did. But I'm just telling you, we need to realize that same holy God that Moses talked to, he's the one that we're talking to. Oh, Father, you are so wonderful. You are so awesome, Lord. Mighty God, we just worship you and honor you, Jesus. Lift you up at this place. Oh, Lord, show yourself mighty in our midst. How we need you. Lord, we just look to you and focus upon you. There is none other. Lord, you are everything to us. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.